To order, please, of the State Community and Regional Affairs Committee. I'm Senator Gary Stevens, and here today Senator Bert Stedman, Senator Johnny Ellis, absent and excused, Senator Tom Wagoner, and Senator Albert Kukesh. We're dealing today with Senate Bill 86, State Municipal Liability for Attorney Fees. There are two zero fiscal notes that you see attached there. Just for your interest to point out that the House companion bill is HB 117. They have had no hearings as of today. Referred to CNRA, State Affairs, and Judiciary. Let's go ahead and begin. We have a couple people to speak to us. These are the only two names we have so far. Okay, and is Chris Kennedy. He's not online and not here.
We'll call him in a minute.
Great. Well, let's go ahead with Scott Brandt Erickson in Ketchikan, the city attorney in Ketchikan. Mr. Erickson, Mr. Brandt Erickson, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The proposed Senate Bill 86 addressing attorney's fees being awarded against municipalities and the state is on a topic that that I've commented on to prior legislatures on similar legislation in the past. This version, this approach, I think is superior to several of the efforts on this issue that have been pursued in the past because it is more clear and I think more effective than a provision which would be affecting court rules or something of that sort. The question of public interest litigant attorney's fees or the possibility of award of full attorney's fees against public entities can be a bludgeon which can be used to impact the policy choices. And I will give you an example. At times, a community may find itself caught in the middle. When I was working in the municipal attorney's office in Anchorage, I had a particular case where we were defending a decision the clerk had made, and we had public interest litigants on both sides of the case, which assured that we were not going to recover any of our fees if we won, and if we lost, there was a good chance that we were going to have to pay one party or the other. As it turned out, we won the case and did not have to pay fees. We tried to recover our fees and made an argument for a change in the law, and that argument was unsuccessful in that case. But a governmental entity can find itself caught in the middle between two public interest litigants. Separately, there's a disparity in the incentive of the parties to settle a case. If a party has a number of claims and recognizes that one of its claims is likely to be successful, then if it would otherwise qualify for the public interest litigant status, it has little incentive to keep the litigation costs down and resolve the case with as little attorney time as necessary. If it's going to stand to recover its full costs, that situation can actually be set up as a money-making proposition where perhaps the majority of the claims would not be compensable. The other comment that I had concerning the bill, I would like to suggest a small wording change. This would be on page 2, line 5 of the bill. Line 5 currently reads, specific statutes authorizing award or fees in particular situations, comma, such as in. And the suggestion that I have is to remove the words cost or and substitute the word attorneys so that the line would read specific statutes authorizing awards of attorneys' fees in particular situations, comma, such as in. Now, this change would do two things. Initially, the bill does not address costs. The primary function of the bill is to address attorney's fees, and the operative provisions in Section 2 of the bill do just address attorney's fees. Second, ambiguity could be injected by the reference to costs. Costs are normally allowed in full, even where it's not public interest litigation, as distinct from attorney's fees, which under Rule 82 are prorated in normal litigation. In normal litigation, the costs would be awarded in full. Additionally, there are some statutes that address costs and attorney's fees. Some just address attorney's fees, and some just address costs. The distinction here is appropriate, so that awards of costs are not affected, but awards of attorney's fees would be limited by this section, except where there's an explicit authorization for the award of attorney's fees in an amount greater than that which would be provided in this section. And the reference to 4550-537 is an example of a statute where there's an explicit authorization for a higher attorney's fees award. With those comments and that one suggested change, I think that this bill would be a great improvement.
Thank you, Mr. Rand Erickson. Would you clarify for me, I think I understand what you're saying on the differences between costs or and attorney fees. What is it, your definition of costs or fees? What would that all include?
There are different ways that the court has applied the term costs in statutes. In some cases, the courts have read the word costs to include attorney's fees, and in other cases they have not. In what I was saying about costs here, cost awards are generally under a different court rule, under Rule 79, and parties generally recover their full costs. Those are things like filing fees, service of process fees, actual money expended for taking depositions, that sort of thing. The attorney's fees would be the time billed by the attorney for providing the services. Because the statute is addressing limiting the attorney's fees and not addressing costs, my suggestion would be that it not refer to costs.
Thank you, Mr. Brandeis. I appreciate that clarification, and we'll take that under advisement, and the committee might want to consider an amendment at a later in this meeting. Any further comments you have or any questions of Mr. Brandt Erickson? Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate your comments.
Okay, thank you.
I will go on to Chris Kennedy from the Attorney General's Office. Mr. Kennedy, are you there?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I apologize. There was some difficulty with the telephone connection. I'm sorry for my late arrival. I'm filling in for Craig Tillery, who's on medical leave at the moment. And I take it that no one has presented the bill in detail. Mr. Brandt Erickson is the only witness who has...
That's right. We just got started, and we went ahead to the next person who wanted to speak to us. Mr. Kennedy, if you'd care to present the bill, I'd appreciate that.
Certainly will. As the members know, winning litigants in civil lawsuits in Alaska traditionally recover part of their attorney's fees from the losing party. And that award typically doesn't exceed 20% of a money judgment, or in the kind of cases where there's no money judgment, it wouldn't normally exceed about 30% of the other party's fees. In SB 86 addresses the special circumstance of enhanced fee awards against state and local governments. These enhanced fee awards against the state alone, and that's the enhancement over normal partial compensation, has represented a substantial expense to the state. Over the last 10 years, that impact averages about $600,000 per year above the normal partial compensation. It occurs in the context of public interest litigant fees, where the court determines that a lawsuit advances what the court views as strong public policies. A government can be ordered to pay full fees to a plaintiff even when the government prevails on most issues in the case. And a good example of that is the 1999 case relating to the 1996 Campaign Finance Reform Act. The case is called Alaska Civil Liberties Union versus State. My office successfully defended all but two provisions of that act, and we thought that we had won the case, and the ACLU apparently thought likewise, since they petitioned for review from the United States Supreme Court. But nonetheless, the Alaska court awarded the ACLU full attorney's fees of $131,000. SB 86 creates a new provision in the chapter of Title IX that's devoted to immunities. And it provides that for civil actions or appeals in which a money judgment is recovered, the state and municipalities are not liable to pay more than 20% of the money judgment as an attorney fee to the other side. In the civil actions where no money judgment is recovered, the liability for the other side's attorney's fees is capped at 30% of the reasonable actual attorney's fees that were incurred by the other side in litigating issues on which they prevailed. And if the case doesn't go to trial, it's capped at 20% of that same figure. For appeals in which no money judgment is recovered, and this would mean both appeals to the Alaska Supreme Court and appeals to the Superior Court of an administrative determination. In those situations, the liability of the state and municipalities for attorney's fees is capped at 20% of the other side's reasonable actual attorney's fees on the issues on which they prevailed. Now, these limits on liability are very similar to the limits that courts have found for years to represent fair partial compensation to a prevailing party. And the limitations don't apply where statutes provide differently, where the courts have determined it's appropriate to award attorney's fees as a sanction for misconduct by the government or its attorney, and in cases that involve eminent domain or condemnation cases. The rationale for SB 86 is to protect the state treasury and to allow the legislature to make the policy choices regarding which litigation against the state should be subsidized with public funds. As I noted, the immunity can be waived by specific statute, and there are statutes that do so. There's one example actually cited in the bill, which is the unfair competition statute, which provides for full fees in some circumstances. Another example of a waiver of immunity that would override this, of a grant of attorney's fees that would override this immunity would be the public interest litigant statute that was enacted in 2003 and that most people still talk about as HB 145. Has been subject to legal challenge, but should it survive that challenge, it would become an exception to this bill. And because this bill relates to the legislature's fundamental control over the state's fiscal matters and over suits against municipalities, it's not a change of rules and doesn't require a two-thirds vote. It's similar to the other immunities that are contained in Chapter 65 of Title IX. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Well, thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Did you hear the recommendation by Mr. Brant Erickson about an amendment? Were you able to overhear that?
I did hear that, Mr. Chairman.
Do you have any comments as to that recommendation?
Yes, we have no objection at all to making that change. I think his explanation of it made good sense, and I think the, and this is really a nit, but I, this is probably the occasion for me to mention it. I think he proposed changing the phrase to awards of costs or attorney's fees, to awards of attorney's fees.
Right, right. On line 5 where it says costs or, he would insert, take those two words out and insert attorney.
Right, and that's correct. The insert should be attorney in the singular because throughout this bill they've just been referred to as attorney fees.
Okay, and you have no objection to that?
We have no objection to that.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Any questions of Mr. Kennedy? Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Final person testifying is Dale Bondurant from Soldotna. Are you with us, Mr. Bondurant?
Yes.
And would you identify yourself, please?
I live in Soldotna, or out Funny River Road. I have my property under a conservation easement, and I oppose the governor's bill, number 86.
Thank you, Mr. Bondurant. Any further clarification? Or
yes, I would like to read the following. Article 1, Section 1 of Alaska's Constitution declares this Constitution is dedicated to the principles that all persons have a natural right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness and enjoyment of their own industry. That all persons are equal and entitled to equal rights, opportunity, and protection under the law. It further states that all persons have corresponding obligations to the people and to the state. I see this as one of the most important obligations which are mandated by our constitutional democracy. This mandated obligation is being superseded by the governor's proposed bill number 86. This is in, is surely included by the governor's bill number 86, who was elected by or selected by the people. If the Constitution of Alaska was not sufficient to protect the Alaska public, then the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution has been found to those who willingly ignore and those who willingly deprive of other rights retained by the people. The governor appears to willingly violate those so-called elected, those who elected him to serve constitutional needs. The governor appears willing to ignore both the Alaska constitutional mandate of inherent rights that all persons have corresponding obligations to the people and to the state, as well as the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The people's protection of the U.S. Constitution are in jeopardy by the governor's attitude. He, in fact, stresses stinginess to cut adequate funding. The present governor must be worthy of the rules of law and pursue his false versing to cut costs to protection of the people's enable rights to true democracy. That I further recede my opposition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bondurant. Just to remind you that this bill will also appear as House Bill 117, and you might watch for that as it moves through the House as well. First appearing in Committee and Regional Affairs on the House side. Thank you very much for your comments. Any questions of Mr. Bondurant? Thank you, sir. I appreciate you taking the time. Anybody else wish to speak to this bill? For the committee, it's not my intention to move the bill today, but we have a suggested amendment which we could deal with or not. I don't mind dealing with it now or dealing with it later. What do you think?
Let's go ahead and amend it.
All right.
We'll delete the word cost
or on line 5, page 2, and insert the word attorney in the singular, as suggested.
Thank you.
A motion to amend, then. Is there any objection to that motion? Very well. We will amend and prepare a committee substitute. If there's nothing further to come before us at this time, thank you for being here.